Use me once, and you'll know it too.
For almost 10 years, Anne Marlowe maintained a heroin habit. While she had a successful career on Wall Street, she never resorted to selling drugs or her body to maintain her habit. She never hit rock bottom. She quit when she wanted, and she never did it again. The antithesis of the junkie stereotype. Marlowe's memoir is called How to Stop Time, Heroin from A to Z. Now, Marlowe doesn't deny she was an addict. She just says that heroin doesn't have to ruin your life. Marlowe told Anne Strangechamps about the first time she did heroin.
It felt very benign. That was what surprised me. I expected heroin to have an edge to it that it didn't have. It felt very reassuring. It felt like the best parts of a mushroom high. I think I even recognized that that's part of what made it so dangerous, that if it felt scary, it wouldn't be so seductive.
Did you feel high, or did you just happy, just as though you felt normal, but everything felt really wonderful?
No, it felt beyond normal. You know, it was very euphoric. And I'm not sure it ever felt quite as good as it felt, you know, the first week or two of doing it. Because once you become used to the euphoria, your every cell is straining for it. Every cell is remembering its memory of that euphoria. But the first time, it takes you completely by surprise.
I know this must be impossible to describe, but I'm always curious. When people say it made you feel euphoric, how euphoric? I mean, how happy did you feel?
Well, I would say I didn't feel happier than I'd ever felt, even on drugs. I mean, I'd say it was like getting really, really good news, but better than that. You know, it's not a feeling you have to do heroin to feel. But what's seductive about heroin is that it makes the feeling infinitely repeatable. You can have it whenever you have $10.
What were you doing in your life at the time? You were working, right?
Oh, yeah. I was working all, you know, throughout that period. I guess when I began, I was working in an office. I was a legal recruiter, a headhunter in familiar terms, for tax lawyers. And after 3 years, I continued to do that on my own. And actually, I've been making my living that way ever since. So I was making a living, in fact, making a good living all during that period. It, you know, it helped that it was a phone business and it was somewhat flexible as to time. You know, I didn't have to be somewhere, pardon me, every day at 9 o'clock.
But you were not by any means the kind of stereotypical picture of a junkie. I mean, you were somebody who was making a good living and, you know, holding down a responsible job, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I knew other people like that, too. I think that's part of the story that doesn't get told, you know, both because the anti-drug hysterics have a lot invested in making people think that, you know, the minute you take an illegal drug, you become completely dysfunctional. And I guess I insist in the book that there are plenty of good reasons not to take illegal drugs other than their practical effects. To me, the spiritual effects of the drugs are much more nefarious than, you know, maybe they will lower your income by $10,000 a year.
What do you mean the spiritual effects of the drug?
Well, I think that this search for endlessly repeated identical experience tends to close you in on yourself, and it makes people stop growing. There's really no interest in reaching out for new experiences if you have something that satisfies you. You know, I think that all growth comes from dissatisfaction of some kind. And people who choose to use heroin heavily or become addicted to heroin are choosing a predictable experience over a new experience, you know, every time they do it.
It's interesting because I think we have, you know, another stereotype of the heroin user or serious drug user is that this is somebody who's a risk taker. But I think you're sort of suggesting that these are people who, in fact, are choosing to do something kind of safe. These are people who are fleeing from the harder experiences of life.
Yeah, I think the only risk-taking element of heroin is the surroundings, the context, the fact that it's illegal, that, you know, often it involves going to a bad part of town and dealing with rough people to get it. If heroin were legal, I think that that aura of the outlaw that surrounds the heroin user now would totally disappear and people would see it for the utterly bourgeois and mundane experience it really is.
What made you finally decide to stop?
Been there and done that. it seemed like an experience that I had exhausted. And I guess I also felt that my life was better without it.
In what way?
I felt that it was more interesting and that I was taking more risks and exploring more new activities than I would have had I been doing heroin. And, you know, like most people who use it, I was kind of looking for an excuse to stop after a certain stage. I was also getting older. You know, I was approaching 40. I was 37 when I stopped. And I thought, gee, you know, this is kind of old to be doing this. You know, people my age are running corporations and governments and, you know, teaching at universities and writing books and doing all kinds of things. And here I am hanging out in the East Village, you know, with a bunch of musicians who are younger than me and who aren't really going anywhere with their lives. And is this really where I want to be?
When you first wrote about using heroin, I think you kind of discovered that you'd unleashed a barrage of criticism. You got a lot of angry letters, angry phone calls from people who were angry at you for two different reasons. And on the one side, people were angry at you because they accused you of glamorizing heroin use. And on the other side, other addicts wrote and said, you know, you never hit rock bottom. You don't have the authority to write about heroin. How do you make sense of both those two kinds of criticisms?
Well, I think that they boil down to one criticism, which is that our culture has largely made up its mind about what heroin means within the culture and that it has to have a certain arc. You have to, quote, hit rock bottom and end up living on the street. I mean, I was very amused when, you know, someone wanted to interview me for a TV show and wanted to put me on with a bunch of prostitutes. And I said, well, what am I supposed to have in common with them, if you don't mind my asking? And they said, well, you mean you didn't have a boyfriend who pimped you out? And I was just, I thought it was hilarious. You know, the stereotype is so pervasive in our culture that no one wants to hear that we might just have got it wrong. The idea is that unless you lose all your money, lose your family, you're living on the street, that you somehow haven't had this experience. I think also any form of writing about addictive drugs is thought suspect in our culture. There's this assumption that any form of discussing them in print incites people to take them.
So it sounds like you discovered that writing about heroin was actually more scandalous than taking heroin.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think like a lot of things in our culture, it's okay as long as you do it and repent that you've done it. If you are unrepentant, if you decide that it wasn't a good idea but it didn't ruin your life, no one wants to hear about that. It also, you know, it affects, there's a huge rehab industry in this country, which, if you ask me, is 90% useless. Mm. You know, if people want to pay to go to rehab, that's fine. But they're essentially doing something that they could be either doing or not doing on their own. And unless they can do it on their own, they won't be able to do it in rehab either.
You said earlier that you don't regret taking heroin. Would you recommend it to other people?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think there's other ways to get every single experience that you can get from heroin. And my advice to someone who's taking it would be to stop. But I don't think that if someone is taking it, that it's the end of the world. And I think the more you give that person the impression that he or she's doing something incredibly evil, dangerous, and scandalous, the more likely it is that he or she will continue to do it. You know, I think that the key to stopping heroin is recognizing its essential boringness. And the more we demonize it, the more we feed into the sorts of feelings that make people think it's an interesting thing to do. And it's not.
Anne Marlowe is the author of the memoir called How to Stop Time, Heroin from A to Z. Anne Strainchamp spoke with her.